Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Judge Harry Clark, the judge executive here in Rowan County. Harry, thanks for spending time with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having us, Leanne. It's always a pleasure to be able to share what goes on in the county with your audience.
There is a lot going on in the county as the holidays are approaching. Actually, I wanted to start by talking about that. There are some big events that are coming up in the next few weeks. We've got Thanksgiving on the horizon, and shortly after that, some holiday happenings. So what is the county preparing for right now?
Well, you know, we try to stay prepared, especially for holidays, but we just finished up, Halloween contest, and we had some winners on that, and that was very, very successful. We had over 30 applicants. People really enjoyed that competition. It was blew up all over Facebook, and it really did a really fantastic job to kind of keep everybody's mind off of COVID. Christmas, we'll have the same thing. We're going to have a Christmas decorating contest. We've already reached out to some of our sponsors. And I think they're going to be happy to sponsor us again this year for Christmas. Of course, we got the Christmas parade coming up on the 4th. That's organized by Jeff Fannin. And, of course, the courthouse will more than likely have a float in it. So there's a lot of things happening around, the holidays. We just want everybody to stay safe and enjoy them.
I've been doing a lot of stories here in the newsroom about supply chain issues and everybody freaking out about being able to get their favorite things for Christmas. But a lot of our local vendors are not really having trouble making sure they've got stuff on their shelves to make sure the holidays are pretty special.
Yeah, and this really is an opportunity. You know, COVID's taught us a lot in many things, and it's certainly taught us that, you know, help out the local vendors. They're going to carry you through all the times, but they've got a lot of inventory. And so they're not too concerned about this. And I would encourage everyone to shop local, let Amazon and, the big box stores, the internet orders, let them fend for themselves this year, and let's take care of our own.
Now, you mentioned COVID a little bit earlier and getting our minds off that, but since it is still happening, tell me a little bit about how the numbers are in Rowan County right now.
Well, unfortunately, Leanne, our numbers are on the increase. And, I went back just before we came on here to look. Saturday was 19, Monday was 19, 14, 19 today. Just got the numbers a few minutes ago. It was 19 today. So we're staying in the high teens, even into the 20s on a daily basis. About the only time we get a reprieve is on Sunday, because there's not that many people. Labs report back on Sunday. It's usually leftovers from Saturday. So it is a concern. We had a governor's call this morning. The governor's concerned about it. Europe has got is spiking again in Europe. The cases are. And it's an indication here in Kentucky that it's also maybe an uptick in it, where our numbers have been up over the past 2 weeks. Our positivity rate has increased. So we feel like that we're probably on the upswing again here in cases. Our concern is, with the holidays coming, will we go back into a huge uptick and spike again? And we're certainly hoping that doesn't happen. The fatalities now are in the younger folks, because I think there's over 70% of the older generation has been vaccinated. So the death rate has shifted from the older, over 60, 65 has shifted down into the 40s and 50s now, because that's the range that some people are not vaccinated in. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a concern, definitely a concern with the holidays, and definitely a concern with the winter months and people starting to go back indoors. So we're concerned about it, and everybody should be concerned about it.
Well, I know during this pandemic that you've been in close contact. It's always amazing to me about Rowan County. Everybody comes together like they're supposed to, mm-hmm. that you hope people will. And the leadership in the community has been really working well together, which I think is a boon for any community to have. So you've been talking with health officials and medical professionals through this entire thing. At this point, do you know anything about the vaccine rate that's happening, and has the fact that kids have the option, kids 5 to 11 now have the option to get vaccinated, is that making any changes in the numbers as far as vaccination participation for our community?
We really hadn't seen any numbers increase because that's so new. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes a little while for things to catch up. Our vaccine rate here in the county is still hovering right around 52%, which is just not good, you know, overall. Again, the older generation has their vaccine rate is much higher. It's up in probably in the high 70s. Mm-hmm. But it's almost the political divide, you know, 50-50. And that's about, you know, what we have here. So people still see this as politics. And, you know, they've got to get this out of their mind that it's politics. Politics needs to be behind us, and consult the physician that has taken care of you. You're probably in some people's cases, probably delivered them. So, you know, they went through that process. They've treated heart attacks. They've treated diabetics. They've done all of these things. Ask them and see what they think. And if they are recommending you to get a vaccine, put the politics or whatever else it is aside, get the vaccine, because that's their only line of defense. And, you know, a year ago, we didn't have the vaccine. So we were relying on each other, mask and those kind of things. We have the fix for this now. It's vaccine, and we need to be getting them.
Mm-hmm. Now, the fiscal court is also preparing for the holiday season in a different way, because snow is coming, and that is happening, whether we want it or not. Hopefully not as bad as last winter. I can leave the huge ice storm back last year. Hopefully we don't see a repeat, but... the community is planning for inclement weather to happen.
We certainly are. The road department, you know, they make this, the road foreman, Steve Kelsey, makes up the routes for the snow plows each year. And they change a little bit because we'll take a street in or take a street out. Or to be quite honest with you, occasionally someone will be sick and we were concerned about being able to get an ambulance to them. So we will change the route around occasionally if we know that there's the possibility of that. So the route changes very little each year, but it does change. That's already been ironed out. We've got some new drivers. He's been out with them trying, you know, selling where we go, where we turn. Because when you get snow on the ground, it's very difficult to be able to say, well, you stop here, you go here. It's a total different look when you have the snow covered. We had plenty of salt in the bin. We had about 650 tons of salt. All of our equipment's up. They've already checked out the salt beds and the plows and all that stuff. So we're really ready to go. We just hope we don't use it. We hope it just sits on the shelf.
I feel like the road crew kind of switches over and completely changes gears when the winter months happen, because they're kind of wrapping up resurfacing projects and things that are happening within the community right now, aren't they?
They certainly are. This will be the first time that we know of. We're not complete yet. We've got Pennington Flat Road to complete. That would have been done today, but apparently they lost power out on 519 and the blacktop plant shut down. So we were hoping to get it accomplished today. We hope to get it done here real soon. That'll complete over $1 million worth of blacktop being resurfaced projects being done around county. That's the first time it's ever happened that we got it all done before the winter months. So we're very proud of the road crew, very proud of Steve Kelsey. And we're also very proud of Frankfort, because that happened because all of the agreements we get for discretionary money, the additional money we get from Frankfort, usually takes a while. We process it through the court, and then we send it to Frankfort. And the Secretary of Transportation signs off on it, and in some cases, the governor. And in the past, it's been kind of a slow process. This year, they have really stepped up their game. And when we send it in very shortly, we get it back. It's approved from them. And so I had an opportunity to talk to Secretary Gray last week at a conference, and I expressed our gratitude for their quick turnaround, which has allowed us, the first time that we know of in history, to be able to put all the money down and all the blacktop done for winter. So we're very pleased.
Mm-hmm. And that's surprising because the wheels of government usually move pretty slow. It's hard to get things taken care of sometimes. I've been on the receiving end of waiting on red tape several times. So I definitely feel your pain there.
Yes.
Taking a look at the agenda from the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week, the group didn't have a huge agenda. It's kind of like you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's pretty early. So these meetings are going faster every time you and I talk. Old business of the meeting, just second readings of ordinances with dog licensing, occupational licensing, and electrical permit fees. Did a lot change with those? I mean, the second reading means it's officially passed, correct?
Yes. For example, we did away with the dog licensing fee altogether. We want to make sure that we want to encourage rabies vaccines. The licensing was just, it was something, it was a good idea at the time, but it's just almost impossible to enforce. And it was really, if it's out there, I'm a firm believer, if it's out there, you got it, then you either do it or you don't do it. So we're just not going to fiddle with it. The application for the occupational license has been $10 and has been. It's more of a hindrance than it is any kind of a revenue. It hinders, the folks that needs a business license. What we're trying to do is get away from the $10 because we don't have any electronic capability. So a person could log in, get his license, get everything filled out online and never have to come into the office. So, you know, we want to promote economic development and small business. And that's just one small way we can. The other thing, and for the same reasoning, is the $5 electrical permit. We were charging $5 for each electrical permit. It's a trip to the bank every day because it's cash and it's very little amount of cash, very little income to the county. But it was a nightmare administratively trying to track. So we did away with that. And eventually we will migrate to where we will be able to issue an electrical permit via email and they won't have to come into the office. So it's really about the customers and the residents around county and the folks that wants to come here and open a business. We want to make it friendly and as easy to do as possible.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Bring the family to the Polar Express and Enchanted Forest at the Gateway Regional Arts Center, 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. Tickets are $5 or $15 for families. Experience the joy of Christmas at the Polar Express and Enchanted Forest, 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th, at the Gateway Regional Arts Center in Mount Sterling. More information by calling 859-498-6264 or online at grackentucky.org.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Harry Clark, Judge Executive here in Rowan County. Harry, thanks for spending time with us again. We're talking a little bit about the agenda for the fiscal court, the meeting, regular meeting for November that happened earlier this week. Some new business, things that the court went over, the county clerk's audit and budget. And the same kind of paperwork went through for the sheriff. Let's talk a little bit about the audits and what those things had to say.
As a county entity and they're a standalone, they're audited every year, just like the county fiscal court is. So the clerk gets an audit every year. So does the sheriff. And the county clerk's audit was clean. That's kind of a way to refer to it. No discrepancies in the county clerk's audit. The sheriff's audit picked up a little hiccup there, and it was a matter of following the bid procedures as outlined. And it was really more of a supply and demand. As you all know, nobody can get vehicles now. And they looked and tried to get some comparison and some prices from state contract pricing, which relieves you of bid requirements if you can get it under the state pricing contract. But anyway, it came down to the bottom line and they didn't have it. They compared prices. They had some equitable numbers. The local dealer actually was cheaper than anybody else but you have to bid that to prove that. So that was their hiccup. It was a mistake in the taxpayer's favor, if you will, but it was a mistake as far as the audit. And we try to our best to be as local as we can, because when you want to reservice or service these vehicles, you want your local dealer to do it because it's so much more convenient. And that's what the Sheriff's Department tried to do. And sometimes, you know, common sense and what makes sense for the public doesn't necessarily mean what's in the book. But it was no big deal. He will correct that, or he'll correct that. He just won't do it again.
Right. Now, the budgets for both of those groups, the clerk and the sheriff's department, obviously that there's quite a bit of personnel involved, a few different things that are going on with each of those entities. So are the budgets changing a lot from last year? How are they different?
No, not really. There's two separate issues here. The budget, we accept the budget from the sheriff, and then we accept the budget from the clerk. And then we also approve the salary cap for their employees. So the county clerk's budget was pretty much right on course from last year. I think it may have changed. I think he decreased his revenue about $37,000 because some of the licensing fees have changed. So he felt like he wouldn't get that much revenue. So it decreased about $37,000. Sheriff's budget was pretty much about the standard, had a few dollars difference in it. Not much. And then the sheriff's salary cap for the deputies was the same as last year, $767,000, I think. And then the county clerk's salary cap for his clerks is, we capped it at $375,000. Mm-hmm. So we don't tell what they can pay each individual. We just tell them how much total they can pay, and they distribute it as they see fit.
The fiscal court also hired some, or approved the hire of some new folks over at EMS.
We did. Trying to fill those slots, or it's just like any medical profession, but actually any profession now, it's just really difficult to fill those slots. We had three individuals that were licensed EMTs, and one of them actually is getting close to being a paramedic. So we hired the three part-time EMTs, and we hope that they'll come and serve us. And then when we have a vacancy, that they'll step up and become full-time employees. And we would encourage them to get their paramedic license as well. It'll be a big benefit to us. You know, our ambulance service is alive and well. Danny gave us we have one vehicle that needs to, some electrical issues that we're having worked on. It's one of the backups. So we still have seven ambulances up and going. Our crews, we do have currently, I was notified this morning, we do have a couple crew members that are actually in quarantine for COVID. That puts a hurt on us because we're short, but we're still fully manned now as far as manning the ambulances and doing our day-to-day things. We're fine with that. We just don't want to get any shorter than we are now.
Right. Now, I hate to ask it, but I'm going to have to. How's that ambulance building going?
Well, the ambulance building, believe it or not, I have a stack of paperwork in my office here that looks like we're getting real close to a permanent occupancy. And I really think we're within a week, and that's on me. I think I've got to review the documents and make sure that they're what we're required to have. And then we've got to send those on to Frankfurt to get the final occupancy permit. But I think it's on us now, so we'll get it done fairly quick.
We're really close, almost there.
Yeah, almost.
Now, something that I wanted to touch base on, we haven't talked about in a while. There's been a lot of discussion in the community about affordable housing. And I know that you did a chat with some folks about that very subject here recently. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with that discussion here in the community.
Well, affordable housing is an issue not only in Round County, but, you know, in the Commonwealth and probably across the United States. But I do know in the Commonwealth, I go to a lot of conferences, a lot of judges are facing the same thing that we are. I wanted to get a step ahead of that. So what I did is I put us together, I'll call it a roundtable discussion. But I brought folks in from MSU, Morehead Housing Authority, the city, County, Frontier Housing, some contractors, some realtors, some of those kind of folks. And we sat around and had a really good chat, and we talked about affordable housing. So, you know, what the misunderstanding is some people think affordable housing is for lower income. Affordable housing is for any income bracket, because what, you know, it's not available even if you've got $500,000 and you're looking in that bracket. There may not be any available to you, and then there may not be any in the lower income bracket as well. So affordable housing fits many different levels of income. So we talked about that, and we come away with that. Definitely came away with that. We came away with the fact that we definitely needed to study and to find out exactly where we are, and with some projections of where we would be 5 and 10 years down the road, based on what we think will be growth in this county and what we need. Well, we're short now, so we know we're going to be short in the future. So I took that to the Economic Development Council. We sat on that board of directors, and we've talked about it in economic development as well. So I presented to them that if we could possibly hire a consultant to come in and do this study for us, tell us where we are, where we should be, kind of some projections and some scenarios of how we could fix this, you know, different types of community, different aspects that maybe we've never thought of before, because land in Round County is a premium. So, you know, and especially in downtown, if you build something, you got to tear something down. So we need to figure out how to get more housing out of smaller spaces. So we, Economic Development Council rapidly approved that. So we're writing in a request for a proposal now, and when we get it written, we'll put it out and hopefully get some good folks, qualified folks, to come in and do this study. And I'll have a group put together, probably the same group I had before, that will review the applicants, and we'll pick someone that can do it and get that done and see where we're really at. And I'm really excited about it, because I think this is the first time that affordable housing's really been on anybody's radar. And as the judge executive, you know, your priorities change on a daily basis. Sometimes it's not daily, but small things change daily, but the big things, it takes a while. So broadband was a big issue before, and I think we've really got our hands around broadband now. So that kind of dropped down. It's still on my list, but it's just dropped down in priority, because I think we're going to get that handled. Water and sewer was a big issue, but they just let a contractor or accepted the bid, I think, to do the water treatment plant. So that kind of drops down. So these other things that we know is very important, like affordable housing, now that can kind of come up to the top, and we can focus zero in on that. So that's what we're doing. And I'm excited to be able to take that project on.
Mm-hmm. Well, as someone who, the only reason I got to go back to college was because I had access to income-based housing when I was doing my undergraduate degree and my graduate degree, and that was the only reason I was able to do that. So I personally know the importance of having access to housing which matches your means, and so I'll be very interested to see how that study goes and the solutions that the committee is able to come up with.
Yeah, I mean, it's real exciting. I've got some numbers. Just for example, in Round County, the average wage for a two-bedroom apartment or two-bedroom facility, you have to make $13.71 an hour to be able to afford a two-bedroom, based on the availability and the rental property here now. Well, you know, most of our younger group, they don't make $13.71 an hour. Mm-hmm. So that's why your two parents has to go to work in order to be able to get, or two individuals has to go to work to afford a two-bedroom house. So I'm hoping, you know, that those numbers, along with many others, and someone that really knows how to put that together, will come up and formulate a plan for us to move forward with affordable housing, because we need it. We're going to grow. We got to have the housing to grow with it. And I'm all about trying to figure out what's going to happen 20 years from now, not what happened last week.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Round County Judge Executive Harry Clark, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Leanne, very much for having us. And we look forward to seeing you out on the streets for the Christmas parade. And I know I probably won't get to chat with you before. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and stay safe. Use common sense, and if you can and you see fit, please go get a vaccine. Thank you all very much.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.